Romans chapter 5. We will be looking at various verses throughout this chapter, but particularly the words of verse number 20 is where we want to center our thoughts upon this evening. We are entitling our message tonight as the title of that hymn that we've just sung, His Mercy is More. And as we consider these verses tonight, then we surely have to conclude that the mercy of God is so much more than our sin. Verse 20, very end of the verse, it says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Before we come to the Word of God, let's seek His help, please. Word of prayer. You know and love the Lord, we ask you, please pray with us and pray for us. Pray for the Lord's help as we come to the preaching of His Word. I pray God will speak tonight. I pray that the Lord will save. And may this be a very blessed night, a night like none other. If you don't know Christ, then it's our prayer that tonight you would realize that the mercy of Christ is greater than all of your sin. Eternal God and our Father, we still our hearts again in Thy presence. We just, Lord, look to Thee afresh tonight. Give us help, O God, we pray. We ask, O God, tonight that You'll open our eyes. Help us to see Thee. Open our hearts. Help us to believe and receive Thee. Lord, we pray that tonight You'll take scales from off blinded eyes. Lord, that tonight You'll unstop the deaf ears. Lord, that this will be a night of salvation. And this will be a night of conversion. Lord, make it a very blessed night. Come, Lord. And Lord, as we often pray, make this house a house of salvation. May it be said, even as it was said of Zacchaeus' house of old, this day is salvation come to this house. Come to this house with Thy salvation. Lord, do it for Your glory and for Thy great name alone. Answer prayer. Continue on with us now. Give us help to preach and help to hear. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. Vaccinations, distancing, hand washing, face coverings, furlough schemes, tax breaks, investments in the NHS. These are only but a few of the measures that have been taken and are being taken in order to try to heal and to revive. Keep our nation alive both physically and economically. All of these measures may be laudable and commendable, but they all fail to appreciate one important factor that encompasses all of humanity and all of mankind. And that is that man is more than mere physical. Man is not just a mere physical being or entity. Most certainly we have a physical aspect to us. We have a body in which we live and breathe. But more importantly than that, we also have a soul. We are not merely physical alone, we are also spiritual. And sadly tonight, for the vast majority of people in our nation and across our land and even in our province, that truth is unknown and unheard of. Millions and millions of pounds is spent, and rightly so, looking after our physical well-being, but it seems that no care or no interest, or no time is given to man's spiritual well-being. You see, tonight, if only people really got concerned and really taken up with the real need of their life, which is not merely their health and their well-being, but the well-being of their soul, how different things would be. If only people tonight took the precautions for the protection of their soul as they are doing for the protection of their life, how different this society would be. Yet in spite of all the ignorance and indifference of man to the greatest need of his life, which is his soul, praise God, in spite of all that, there is still a kindness and a tenderness in the heart of Almighty God towards lost sinners, those who are blinded and bound in their sin. And while, as we have been reading these verses tonight, while our sin is great, and while our sin blinds us and sin binds us to that sin, thank God tonight the mercy of God is greater than that. Your sin tonight is great, but God's grace and mercy is greater than all of your sin. And that takes us now to the very heart of the gospel of Christ. We've been reading tonight about the grace of God. On the other side of that coin, there is the mercy of God. And all encompassed in that, there is the love of God. The love of a sovereign, holy God, that He would send His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. That He in mercy would send His Son to the cross, that we might be saved. I look across our nation tonight, and we see the consequences, we see the effects of sin all around us. We look into homes, we look into communities, we look into lives tonight. Homes and lives and communities and neighborhoods that are wrecked by sin. Look into hearts tonight. As the Lord looks into your heart, as only the Lord can, and sees in your heart a heart that is black and stained with sin, a heart that's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But thank God tonight, despite the wickedness and the evil of our hearts, there is a whiteness and there's a greatness in the mercy of God to cover all of our sins. He is the one who is omniscient. He is the one who is all-knowing. He knows your sin tonight. And you might be sitting in this meeting tonight and we might think you're saved and we might think it's well with your soul. But as the Lord looks into your heart tonight, He knows your sin. He knows your heart. But in spite of all of that, tonight He provides a mercy, gives grace that is greater than all of your sin. As we think of this subject this evening, I want you to see, first of all, with me here, the darkness of the soul. The darkness of the soul. The opening verse that we read, in verse 12, says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Verse 12 is referring, of course, to Adam's sin. Original sin in the Garden of Eden, when our first parents fell, disobeyed the law of God, disobeyed the command of God, and as a result fell into sin. But here's the problem, that the Garden of Eden is not just some historical fact. It is a present reality in the life of all men born into this world. Because of that event, all are born in sin. Every heart is darkened and depraved by sin. There's nothing nice, there's nothing pleasant about sin. Sin's a terrible thing, sin's an awful thing. We're not born good and then just take a decision or take a wrong turn in life, as the moralists will tell us. We're not born good and then gradually, maybe over a period of time, we trip up and we mess up and we go a wrong way. Now the Bible makes it very clear in verse 12 that all have sinned. Death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All from the beginning of time, born into this world, have sinned. We sin because we are sinners. We do not become sinners. We are sinners. But let's look at a moment at what sin is. See the darkness of the soul here. In verse 17, it describes sin as an offense. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all. Here is sin described as an offense. Sin is an offense against God. We live in a society right now where sin is treated lightly. Sin doesn't really have any effect. It doesn't really matter. But here, the Scriptures make it very clear that sin is an offense to a holy God. We talk about people who offend us. Maybe they've done something to us, or they've hurt us, or they've harmed us, or they've said something about us, and it causes us heartache and grief, and we're offended. Listen, folks, that's got not even compared to the offense of a holy God. Our sin offending a holy God. And today there is no sorrow, there's no shame over sin, there's no stigma about sin. The heart of man is only evil continually. Oh, how God must be grieved right now at the offense of this nation, of this world. And God has been calling men and women to stop and to think. And yet so many have just went on their own way, doing their own thing. Listen tonight, sinner. Your sin is not an offense to the person beside you. It's not an offense to this church. It's an offense to God. God, who has provided for you the way of salvation, who, as we'll see in a moment, provided Jesus Christ to save you. And yet what do? You turn away from Him. You turn away from His mercy. David, when he sinned, he said, "Against thee and against thee only have I sinned and done evil in thy sight." And oh, that tonight, sinner, you would realize that your sin is an offense to God. Your sin is not something that's pleasing or acceptable to God. Your rebellion tonight, your rejection tonight, it is not something that's acceptable, but rather it's something that is offensive. It brings us, in verse 18, to see then the damnation of sin, where it says, judgment came upon all men. There's consequences, you see. You can reject God. You can reject the gospel. You can rebel all you want, but don't think there will be no consequences for you because of it. Verse 18 makes it very clear that there are. Because of your sin, your offense, and your offending a holy God, there is judgment tonight. The wrath of God, which is a righteous wrath and a holy wrath, is abiding right now in your head. Sinner, right now at this point in time, you're only a heartbeat away from hell. Right now, you're only a step away from a lost eternity. Because the judgment of God abideth upon your head. There is damnation tonight. You are condemned. You're not going to be condemned when you stand before the Lord in your sin on the judgment day. That will be the final and consuming part of your judgment. But right now, he that believeth not is condemned already. Right now, as you sit in this meeting, out of Christ, rejecting Christ, turning away from God, the gospel of Christ, still in your sin, right now, right at this very moment, you are a candidate for hell. Because of the judgment of God that abides upon you. Verse 18 also talks about the destruction of sin, talks about condemnation. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Of course, it was because of sin that death came into this world. But I'm not talking now about physical death, because listen, we'll all die. Should the Lord not return, we will all die. That statistic that I've brought to you again and again and again, one in every one person dies. And for whatever cause or for whatever reason, we shall all die. Physical death, it's an awful thing. But there's an even greater death than physical death, and that's eternal death. And that's the death when the condemned soul, which has been separated from the body, is then separated from God in a lost eternity for all eternity. And listen, you might have lived the healthiest of life on this earth, but someday you will succumb to death. And it doesn't matter how good your medical record may be or not be. It doesn't matter how good your physical existence upon this earth may be or may not have been. Here's the only thing that matters. How will your soul be in death? Where will you be? Where will you be 5 minutes after you die? As people that gather around your corpse, and as I'm sure they'll say all sorts of nice things about you, he was a great fellow, she was very nice, she was a great neighbor, and they'll say all sorts of nice things, but what about your soul in death? Where will it be? Because listen, you go out into eternity and meet God still in your sin. It doesn't matter what anybody might say around your coffin. It doesn't matter about the nice things that people will say when they come to console your relatives. You go out into eternity still in your sin, you will be in hell. That's the damnation of sin. Because we are more than mere physical, we are spiritual. And it's the soul that matters. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's the darkness of the soul tonight because of sin. But I want us to see, in the second place, not only the darkness of the soul, but I want you to see as well the design of the solution. Verse 18, verse 19 and verse 20 all talks about a solution. And verse 18 talks about the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon many. Verse 19, as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. At the end of verse 20, for where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You see, in the light of what we've just said, in the backdrop of all the awful things and the darkness and the depravity of the soul, here's the light tonight. Here's the way that the problem of your soul can be dealt with. It's all summed up at the end of verse 17 in those two words, Jesus Christ. As we think of this design, the greatness of the sin, yet the mercy of God being greater, I want you to see that there's a depth here to the mercy of God, because sin, as we've already noted, plunged humanity into an awful state. Sin destroyed that communion that man had with God. Sin destroyed that perfection and that pristine state that man had with God there in the Garden of Eden. Man was created sinless, totally inclined toward God, inclined toward holiness, but sin destroyed that perfection, and sin plunged all of humanity into the darkness and into the depravity that has been spoken of in the verses we've just mentioned. But thank God tonight that the mercy of God went deeper than the deepest sin. Thank God tonight that the mercy of God reaches down and reached down to pick up those who are in their sin. Notice the language of Paul, especially in verse 20, where he says, sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, the word abound there in relation to sin in verse 20 means to increase, increase, and keep on increasing. And that's what sin does. You see, tonight, don't think that sin's making you a better person. Don't think tonight that the longer you live in your sin and the longer you continue in your rebellion to sin, that somehow you're becoming a better person. You're not. You're heaping tonight sin upon sin, and that debt of sin is rising and increasing moment by moment, day by day. Sin is abounding in your life. But thank God, as we look at verse 20, at the end of it says, grace did much more abound. And that word abound there in relation to grace and the mercy of God has an entirely different meaning, because it just doesn't mean to increase, it means to go over and to go greater. Thank God tonight, although your debt of sin may be increasing, the mercy of God can go over that debt and cover that debt and clear that debt. That's why we were singing, His mercy is more. You see, here's the wonderful thing tonight, and let me speak to the child of God this evening. It matters not how far someone goes into sin. It matters not how far they might go down into the depths of sin. Thank God tonight, the mercy of God can reach them and save them. And your unsaved loved ones, they might be getting harder and harder to the things of God. But keep on praying, keep on witnessing, keep on believing, because the mercy of God can still reach them. There are no hopeless cases with God tonight. Grace reached to the very highest of heaven. Reached to the throne of glory to bring Christ from glory into this world. Mercy reached to the darkest soul. Mercy went greater than the distance of sin. And no matter how far you may have gone in sin, no matter how long you have lived in sin, and you might be saying tonight, well, I'm not like so-and-so, and I'm not doing this, and I'm not doing that, and I'm walking a good life, and doing a good life, and it doesn't matter what sort of a life you're living. If you're living without Christ, you're still walking on the pathway to destruction. The old preachers used to talk about walking the clean side of the broad way. And maybe that's you tonight. You're walking the clean side of the broad way. To all intents and purposes, your life is fine. You're doing your best. You're trying to do what you can as a good neighbor, as a good family member in your community, whatever. And try to help, try to do charitable deeds. Those are all good things. But listen tonight, you still have a soul that's blackened and darkened with sin. Thank God tonight, no matter how long you've lived in sin and how far you've gone in sin, the mercy of God is greater. Let's come to verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, that's Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one. There's the last Adam. There's Jesus Christ, the one who is identified in the previous verse. By the obedience of Christ, his obedience in his life, his obedience to the law, Christ rendered a perfect obedience. And we see that as most especially in the cross of Calvary, where the Lord Jesus Christ was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And it is because of his perfect obedience and his righteousness then that you can be saved tonight. Thank God that when man fell in the Garden of Eden, God didn't turn his back on humanity. That when man broke the law of God and sin entered into this world, God didn't turn his back on this world. God didn't turn his back on you. But God provided in mercy his Son to be your Savior. I wonder tonight, what have you done with the mercy of God? As you sit in this meeting tonight, ask yourself this question: how are you before God? That's the only thing that matters tonight. Are you saved tonight? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's the only thing that matters. But I tell you this, it's the most important thing. It's what you've done with Jesus. It's what you've done with the salvation that He has provided. That salvation tonight that will save your soul and cleanse you from sin, make you ready for heaven. What have you done with Him? This church can never save you. No church can save you. No confession or creed can ever save you tonight. Only Christ can save your soul. The mercy of Christ, which reached down to lift you up. You in the pit of sin tonight? Well, thank God this evening, Jesus Christ, His mercy can reach you. And finally, as we close this evening, we see not only the darkness of the soul, the design of this solution. He brought Christ from glory. But finally, there is the deliverance of salvation. Look at the end of verse 18. The end of verse 18 talks about a gift. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came. Thank God tonight for the free gift of God's salvation. You don't have to pay your way to heaven. You can't pay your way to heaven. You can't work your way to heaven. In fact, you can't do anything. Because all that is needed for you to be saved, to be delivered from sin, is given to you in Christ as a gift. The gift of God tonight is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And to you tonight who are still out of Christ, God's gift is extended to you. It's freely given. Without money, it's without price. All it costs the Savior his life, but it's freely given tonight. It's freely offered to you tonight. You can experience this gift tonight. You can be saved tonight. The gift of God's salvation this evening has your name tag on it if you will only but receive it. Dare I say that we're coming up soon to Christmas. Or maybe you've had a birthday recently. A few have had big birthdays recently. It'd be a strange thing if someone gave you a gift and you didn't actually receive it and say, well, that's lovely, that's very nice, thank you. But you never actually take it. If you're anything like me, you get a gift and as soon as you can, it's opened and you're, boy. And tonight, in the gospel, God offers to you the gift of his salvation, but will you receive it? Will you come tonight to Christ? In all of your sin, in all of the darkness of your sin, will you come to Jesus Christ and be saved? The end of verse 19 talks about a great change. As by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one, there's the obedience of Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross, his blood that was shed, by his obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. It simply means you be made right. Stand right before God. Stand accepted before him. You see, tonight, I must be honest and be faithful to your soul this evening. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you tonight stand condemned, lost, ready for hell, and only by the mercy of God that you're not there already. But tonight, by the free gift of God's salvation offered to you through Jesus Christ, his Son, you can stand right, accepted, perfect, sins forgiven, blotted out, and assurance of a home in heaven. Why would you not accept such a gift? Why would you not come to Jesus Christ? Why would you turn away tonight from such a wonderful offer? Why would you continue in your sin and live in your sin and die in your sin and go to hell in your sin? Jesus Christ offers to you salvation, deliverance. Because no matter how great your sin may be, tonight the mercy of God is more. Greater to cover all your sin. Greater to cover every sin, sin past, present, and future. Because he doesn't just save you for time. He just doesn't save you for a little period of time. He saves you for all of time. And he cleanses all of your sin, and one day he'll bring you safe to glory. Would you not want such a salvation tonight? Would you not want such a gift tonight? Would you not receive such salvation tonight? Would you not come to Christ tonight with all of your sin? Come the way you are. Don't go away and try to mend your life. Don't go away and try to do better. Just come the way you are. And He'll not turn you away. I'm not inviting you tonight to a church. I'm not asking you tonight to sign any document. I'm simply asking you tonight, come to Christ. And He'll save you. He'll save you now. Will you come before it's too late? Your sin is great, but His mercy is more. Let's bow in prayer. And as we close our meeting tonight, let me thank you for your attention. Let me thank you for listening. But again, the question must be asked, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Christ? Will you say in your sin, reject Him, or will you come to Christ? Will you receive Him? Experience His salvation. I plead with you, come tonight to Jesus Christ and be saved. You desire to be saved, you'd like to be saved, then make that known to us. Speak to us tonight. Wait behind. Even where you are, turn to Jesus Christ. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee for the mercy of God. We thank the Lord for that mercy that is greater than all of our sin. We thank the Lord tonight for that mercy that goes greater than all of our sin, that goes over and beyond and covers and cleanses all of our sin. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight You'll speak to hearts. Heavenly Father, we cry unto Thee this evening. Just come, O God, we pray. Lord, we pray You'll draw sinners with the cords of love to Thyself. Do it for Your glory. And do it for Thy great name's sake. Save souls tonight. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen.